Tonight I'm going to talk about faith and a couple things. In our young adult class, we've started a book, and I know there's several in the audience who know this book, who have used it before. It's called Finding My Faith by Kevin Harrington, and we've been using it in our class for, I don't know, it's probably been a couple of months now. We're just in a couple of chapters, so we're taking our time discussing it. And we're actually starting it at the Waco congregation, so several of us go down on Sunday mornings to help them. And we were talking about this, and I was actually had a lesson on faith, and I used some of the information in here, and I was talking about this book, so everyone wanted to pass around, look at it. So now we're doing our Sunday morning class likewise in there as well. And if anyone has any questions, don't hesitate asking either during it or afterwards if you want to take a look at this as well. And I know a couple of people know this book. They've read it. I'm going to jump through at least the first few chapters a little bit just because of limited time tonight. But I know I'm teaching again next month, I believe. And I think I'm going to kind of pick up and go with this as well. But again, when we think of faith, so one of the things, and I actually even did this, I've done this a few times in the last, I would say, week. And I tried tonight too, but even this afternoon during a break, I was looking up. Just, you know, you Google, I can't remember if I said, what is your feeling or definition or a meaning of faith? And obviously, when you go to the internet, you're going to get a lot of different answers. And some can be good. Most are not good. Some are a little crazy as well. And I didn't print out. I wish I would have printed out because there was a big discussion going on and what people thought and what some people's feelings are on faith. And obviously, a lot of it even contradicts what people feel with what the Bible says. And I think one of the first things we go to when you look at a biblical definition of faith is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, again, a definition of, I forgot because I even looked it up, which I thought was a little surprising. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But the Webster's Dictionary definition of faith, when you look it up, and I just did this last minute when I was standing out here, but number one says allegiance to duty or a person, loyalty, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions. But number two, it says belief and trust in and loyalty to God. I'm still a little surprised that that's in the dictionary. That's something you would think would have been ripped out of there. You can't mention God. You can't say anything about it that it's in there. But that was something neat to say. Now, when you think of faith, and I'm going to start off with a question while I already had some statements. When you think of faith, what does it mean to you? I'm not talking about just a definition, but what does faith mean to you? What do you think of when you think of faith?
Love.
Belief, love,
hope,
trust.
Promise.
Yep. So, and one of the things I was thinking of too when I was thinking of faith was it's active. And I think too often, many times, people treat it as something that's passive. That all I have to do is have faith and that's it. But what do we do with it? What are our actions involved with faith? What's that?
Hope.
Absolutely. What do we do? What are some actions, Sam?
Well, if you say you have faith, but you don't do anything else, you don't have faith.
Absolutely right.
You're just using the word.
Yeah. So in faith, and a lot of times we'll intertwine even some of these words we've used too. Belief is one. A lot of times it's intertwined with faith. It's not exactly faith, but it is again intertwined in there with it as well. And going back again, doing a Google search, I would not tell anybody to do that just to find out what exactly anything in the Bible is. Go to the Bible itself in the first part. But you can imagine a lot of people were, and they've even mentioned Hebrews 11:1, but a lot of people had a lot of different things to say. And I didn't, there was another page I had, and there were a lot of, Quora, it's called Q-U-O-R-A, it's like a forum. A lot of people were writing. There was a lot of back and forth, and I didn't print that out, and I wish I did. But there's another one here that I printed, and this I don't, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. This person described himself after their name, and I didn't put their name down because I didn't want to get in trouble somewhere, but this is how they described themselves: progressive, democratic socialist, anti-fascist, and atheist. And they're proud to say all of these things here. But again, this is one of the negatives, and this is a lot of times what we'll hear is belief in the absence of supporting evidence. So the question was, what would you consider to be the best definition of the word faith? So then this person says, if you have a belief in something with evidence, then you don't need to fall back on the concept of faith to defend it or believe it's true. If you have evidence, you no longer have faith, but a substantial belief. Or if the evidence is strong enough and enough people agree on it, an accepted piece of knowledge. He says, I don't have to have faith that the sun will come up tomorrow because it has a track record of always doing so. Well, again, I would say that that's also part of faith. I have faith that those things will happen. And then he goes on, there's a couple other things that obviously you know where he's going with all of these things, and it doesn't matter what it is. Someone else wrote, and I thought this was a good, again, an example when you think of faith. This person said, faith is more than intellectual agreement. To use an old illustration, imagine you're at Niagara Falls watching a tightrope walker push a wheelbarrow across the rope high above the falls. After watching him go back and forth several times, he asks for a volunteer to sit in the wheelbarrow as he pushes it across the falls. At an intellectual level, you may believe that he could successfully push you across the rope over the falls. But, and then he uses kind of the Bible in there, obviously this isn't fully true, but you are not exercising biblical faith until you get in the wheelbarrow and entrust yourself to the tightrope walker. So in other words, yes, there's a belief that this person can do that and get you across. But until you really commit and put yourself into that wheelbarrow to go across, it's an idea of faith. I remember when I even first started preaching, and I was thinking of the concept of time, and it was George LeMasters talking. You've probably heard this before too, if you remember his name. But use an example one time, even when I was a little kid, about a bird, and I'm going to get it somewhat wrong, a bird carrying a grain of sand from one side of the world to another, and I believe it was about the concept of time there. So we see this with the exact same concept. We believe something may happen, but really we have to do something in there as well. And that's why, again, I say faith has to be something that's active. We can't just say, well, I have faith, and then we sit here or do nothing about it as well. Now, in the idea of faith, and again, I'm using Brother Harrington, and he's actually a preacher in the church down in Florida. But when he's talking about faith, a lot of things that this book talks about is the idea of us using our faith. So he breaks it up, the book, into finding your faith and then using that faith as well. And again, we're just a couple chapters in ourselves. But when you try to think about people leaving, let's say leaving the church, leaving their faith, and we all try to think of reasons. I think when we started the class with this book, we were asking, why are people leaving the church? Why are they leaving? What are some ideas you can think of why people may leave the faith? Lack of faith, absolutely. And why? How do they have a lack of faith? Number of reasons, right? Yeah. There could be a lot of things involved with that. And is it someone else's fault? Is it our own?
It's our own, but there are times that people say things that make you really wonder what.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It
always comes down to our own faults and our own, but there can be influence as well. And you brought up a good point too, because one of the points I'm going to get into in just a few minutes is, are we questioning even our faith? And I want us to think about that in a second. Are we questioning our faith? Have we questioned our faith? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There's a somewhat of a negative connotation in there, and we'll talk about that in a minute too. Does someone else have a hand up that I missed? Yeah, Jake.
All the things that they have endured, the long suffering,
Absolutely. So, again, they don't see the immediate effect. They think that if I'm going to have belief, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to follow Christ, follow God, that everything should be great, everything should be better, I should see the results of everything then and there. But it's funny, too, and you'd probably agree, that people don't follow that same concept with everything else in their life. Can you imagine if, well, okay, actually today maybe people do that. A lot of businesses are finding trouble hiring people for jobs. People don't want to work. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to sweat. And we've had even that same problem as well where I work, where people are making excuses to not work. They're making excuses to not do, I guess where I'm going is not do the right thing. Making excuses for whatever it may be. And I think part of the problem, too, even in the church, are people at times, I feel like, and hopefully I'm wrong with this, that they're even looking for excuses not to be here, not to have a strong faith. And again, as Brother Taylor mentioned, too, he mentioned a moment ago, there's so many different reasons that people may, and we all know, we have family, we have friends, brothers and sisters here that are no longer here for a variety of reasons. And again, it falls back on each and every one of us individually, but we have to start thinking too of, okay, why is this happening? What else can I do? Am I doing everything I can do? So a lot of too, and what the author talks about in here too, when people, and he specifically mentions young people. And in page number 12 on this, he says, it's time to stop making excuses for our young people leaving the faith. I strongly believe that if properly taught and motivated, teens can make strong biblical decisions once they leave the care of mom and dad and even before. And he goes on, and I'm just going to reference a few points here, but he also talks about older Christians also when he's teaching this book. So it starts off with younger. But what he says is there, we start learning the stories in the scriptures of and examples of what we have when we're younger. And then when we get older, what do we hear? He mentions, well, then you learn these do's and don'ts. But really, we don't, and look, he's not saying us specifically or his congregation, and this is not even meant to say that we've been doing things wrong. It's just sometimes we need to stop and think. It's not just about the do's and the don'ts, but how do we combat those things when they're happening, as they're happening? And remember, you know, this building used to be packed full. Even a lot busier on a Wednesday, but definitely on Sundays. And there are a lot of things, there could be a lot of reasons why that's happening as well. But are we doing an adequate job, and this is what he says too, in building and strengthening our faith as well? And that's something that we all need to, each and every one of us need to think about. So one of the things I wanted to talk even tonight in regards to faith, and he talks about it, this as well, is even questioning that. Now, a lot of times people will talk about, you've heard this, a blind faith. And this can be a problem for us even as Christians as well. So think of this too. Why are you here tonight? What brought you here in the first place? How did you come to the Brown Street Church of Christ? What started that journey for you as well? Now, if we think of, you know, doubt is extremely prevalent today because people think they're smarter. Remember I said the internet? The internet brings a lot of really good things, a lot of information that we didn't have. Notice I said it brings a lot of information. Doesn't mean it brings a lot of good information all the time. Right, or truth. And you have to be careful with it and look into it to make sure that's the case. Let's look at Luke, the 24th chapter here. And if you recall, doubt was even big during the first century, big during Christ's time too. And even when we talk about the news of his resurrection, did everyone just say, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, I believe you, I believe that. You know, Mary and her companions were the first to realize, even through Christ's very appearance there, that he was risen from the dead. But when they reported what they had seen at the tomb, at the empty tomb, I should say. In Luke chapter 24, verse 11, it says, their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Now, Luke records his appearance to the apostles and even their unbelief. If you go down the same chapter, chapter 24, down to verse 36 beginning, it says, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, some honeycomb. He took it and ate in their presence. So despite that other people were saying that they had seen it, they still had doubts. They still didn't believe. Christ even gave them specific evidence right there of his hands and his feet, he says. And there was still, obviously, some doubt. And he shows it to them. So why did he do that? Because he wanted them to believe. He wanted them to see. What else do we have here? John, even a second appearance, and focuses, remember, on Thomas. In John chapter 20, and it kind of begins in verse 19 there. I'm not going to read all this there, but what do you think of when you think of the name Thomas? Yeah, doubting Thomas. So you can see there that that word is, unfortunately, in a sense, kind of wrapped up with him as well. But he's noted for that. And he needed to see it for himself. And then he proclaims later, my Lord and my God. And again, this is all from John chapter 20 here. And he says there, and then Christ says, because you have seen me, you have believed. And then he goes on. So he finishes this with, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So we have to understand how important then our faith is in everything we do in life. And are we developing that faith? It's not, remember, belief is tied in with it, but we have to have that faith also. And are we, I guess, cultivating it, developing it, exercising it, using it, being active with it as well? And we have to look at, so a lot of times too, people will say, just as Christ had to give evidence, people want evidence. People want evidence, and I think even what Jake was kind of alluding to there with people want instant gratification. They want to see the results of what they're doing. They want evidence of that. Do we have evidence today?
Absolutely.
Yep, and what are those? Yes.
Every year, they're never going to produce apples. Every year, there's going to be an oak leaf come back on there, and that's faith. I know that's going to happen.
Yes.
My faith tells me that, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, there in chapter 1, they had obeyed the gospel, but then they were leaving, I suppose, for lack of faith. But he talked about, if anybody comes teaching you another doctrine, don't believe it. And then the Hebrew letter,
yeah,
that they had, the Hebrews had obeyed the gospel, but the letter was trying to get them to stay with it. Don't leave it. It's by faith that you keep all that. You know, we have all sorts of and illustrations of faith, like the oak tree in the park.
Right.
But like the Galatian people in Galatia, they believed. And Thomas, of all people, you'd think, because he had seen the Lord, seen some of the miracles.
Right.
But yet he wouldn't believe unless he'd seen the.
Well, right. And they were even told, too, not even if it's us or an angel from heaven,
right.
No other doctrine, no,
right.
Nothing else from there, too. And yet. And I think, Dale, too, that we look at the examples of the Bible, the scriptures, they're us as well. because we talk about Thomas. We talk about Peter, yeah. Right? The Pope himself. No, I'm joking. He's not really the Pope. But we see, you know, exactly what has happened there. So I think of something. You talk about trees. I've mentioned this before, and maybe I've said it from here, but I think of peppers. Why are there so many peppers? Who likes peppers? Well, a lot of people like peppers, right? How many different types of peppers are there? Why? Yeah, but you think peppers would just happen or form? And again, I know that sounds silly, but we look at the creation. We look outside. We see all the different aspects of creation. And I don't have this with me, so it just came to the top of my head as I'm talking about this now. But scientists talk about just how perfect the axis of the earth and the rotation, everything else has to be to sustain life, that for it just to be an accident cannot happen. But I'm going down a road of something else that I don't want to go too far. But again, we talk about our faith. We talk about the evidence that we have, that we see. And though even Christ recognized the need for evidence. And we look at in John chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Christ then would go on to produce witnesses to his credibility. John the Baptist, the works he performed throughout. Moses, we have many in there as well. So what do we do when we have moments of doubt ourselves? When we talk about our faith, and you don't have to raise your hand, but do you think maybe you will have doubts at some point in your life? And that's the thing that we all need to see. And we need to do exactly what Thomas did as well. Maybe we doubt, but more importantly, we need to examine the evidence. We need to take a look at it to make sure it's right, make sure it's true. And I said earlier that sometimes you have this. When someone says, I need to investigate further. I need to look into this. Do I question? That's the point I'm trying to make. Do I question my faith? And that's not a bad thing, because we should question. One of the problems would be the fact that if we just show up and, again, I asked earlier, remember when I asked earlier, how did you get here? How did you arrive here? And I'm not talking about what vehicle did you bring here to get here tonight. But to become a Christian, to come to this congregation, how did that come about? And maybe for some of us, it's lifelong. I know I grew up here, and I came because my family had brought me. But I will tell you, there was a time in my life where I had doubts, that I wasn't sure. And why was that? Well, for me at least, because I was just brought and told, do this. Or don't do that. Remember I talked about the author said a lot of times we grow up learning about these do's and don'ts. And it seems like there's more don'ts at times. But we all need to, we can't sit here. Here's the problem. And I said we need to be active. We cannot sit here as Christians and just say, I believe, I have faith. And I just need to listen to Brother Don or Brother Dale or Brother Jeremy and whatever they say. And that's going to be it. That's going to be okay. And that's all I need to do. Are we looking into it ourselves? Are we active ourselves in there? How many times this week so far have you opened up your Bible since we met on Sunday evening? And that's you individually can only answer that question. How many times have we searched or looked into things? Again, I told you the internet can be a very bad place. I get this, and I can't remember the name of it now. I get this email. It seems like a weekly couple times a week, but it's like answers to Bible questions. And same thing, it'll be something in there with a Bible question, and then people will ask. And as you can imagine, the answers are all over the place. And it comes down to, where are we going to the Bible for our answers? A lot of confusion can come from there. I have a friend, and one time he said, a friend from work, and he said their congregation broke up because the elders got into an argument with the board of directors. Now, I haven't seen our board of directors, I was going to say in a long time, but never. And why is that? We don't have that because it's not in the scripture.
About 40 you don't have a board of directors? Oh, your church is going to fail.
Right.
I said, Kat, our church has been around since Jesus arose from the grave.
Well,
you know, yeah. We don't need. And I said, we have elders that oversee each church because if one falls, we don't all fall.
Right. And here's the thing. His church fell because they had a board of directors. So we see the issue with, or the problems with it. It's like, because they argued, they couldn't get along, which again goes back to the thing, we have to have faith in God and His Word instead, is exactly that same example there. Yes.
And that does cause doubt.
It is, and people are human. You're right, it causes doubt. And when those things arise, though, what should we do? Well, one, we know that's wrong and that's easy, but anytime we have a question, we go to the Bible, we go to the scripture, we see. And I joked earlier about Peter. Obviously, hopefully everyone knows here that I'm not saying he was the Pope. There's no such thing as the Pope in the Bible, nothing in the scripture with it. And how they arrived at Peter is again, another time, another story. But absolutely, those things are going to cause problems, they're going to cause divisions. Jeannie. Yeah.
You know, listen to men. We have faith in men. I mean, even about everyday faith, we say, well, we don't have the time to investigate. We're just going to listen to man because, you know, he's educated and he should know. And that happens in the church, too. You know, people who go to congregations, it's easier just to go and listen to your preacher and he said it. So it should be good. So nobody investigates things for themselves.
Yeah. Good point. No one investigates. They listen to somebody else. And a lot of times that's someone who they somehow put a faith into. Example, I was, again, I go down these rabbit holes sometimes when I'm looking at these, you know, there's a video that pops up or something else after you're looking at something. And there's this female preacher, and she was preaching everyone that they need to have designer clothes and designer items. She was specifically mentioning these things. And it's just like, and I'm somewhat surprised because the comments were very much against her. But I'm like, what am I watching here? What is this? Has nothing to do with God's word. But absolutely, Gene, that's an extreme example. But people aren't investigating. They're not looking. They're not searching. They're just going with what, look, even when I'm up here talking, hopefully someone should be listening and making sure that what I am saying is right. I misquoted someone years ago. And I didn't realize that. And afterwards, someone came up to me and told me it was a president. And I can't even remember now. I think I mentioned it was John F. Kennedy. It was maybe President Johnson, but I can't remember. But, you know, I want to make sure what I am saying is right and correct that as well. But how do I do that? I look, I research, I read, I study. And it's not difficult. That's the other thing with being a Christian in our faith. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what you like to, what sports you like to play, whatever it may be, it's for each and every one of us. And if we're all examining and looking, we shouldn't have the problem. And if we look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, that think of what Peter's desire was there, where he says, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." He didn't want them to forget. He didn't want anyone to forget what he had already told them, what he had spoken, what he had preached. He talked about, again, the eyewitnesses. He talked about the testimony that he had given from there. And we want to make sure that we are doing that as well. We don't want to follow, you know, in the next verse talks about even, you know, fairy tales and anything else. But honest investigation should be on the forefront of everything we do when it comes to Scripture. And again, this goes back to when we leave here Sunday after Don has spoken and preached, what are we leaving with? What are we thinking about? And what are we doing about it as well? Is that just the time, well, we got to hurry up and get our lunch and we completely forget? Was there something he said that stirs us, that causes us to think? How many times have you looked, well, not only when he's presenting it on the screen, but even yourself, have you looked it up, read, searched, maybe, you know, looked at some verses that go along with it as well? Because, again, part of the problem is anyone up here speaking, I'm not going to have every verse on faith tonight. I'm not going to be able to say everything on it, and we're limited. But are we also doing our part, again, that active part of our faith, that we're doing something tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday. Friday as well. Saturday. And we're going to meet here again Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But don't think that that's enough, that that's all we have to do. Are we afraid, maybe, of what we might find? And people have, throughout history, have attempted to deny the existence of God, to disprove Christ and everything that has been said. And I know, again, I'm thinking of these things as we go. There are even historians that mention Christ. I think there's 10 of them altogether throughout history that have writings and mention Christ that are historical writers as well. And many people try to do that, but again, are we looking into it? Are we, as Jeannie said too, are we doing an investigation? Do we want to make sure it's right as well? Yeah, well, let me get Sam, go ahead next. Yeah.
But the scripture recommends elders to elders. And I went to a few of the meetings of the elders, you know, I mean, of the men of the congregation. And they would make you an unbeliever if you sat there and listened to them. Because they argued, they bickered. They wanted their way, not the way of the Lord. If they did, they would have had elders years ago.
Right.
You know, so we got to be careful, not only talking to just like an assembly here, we got to be careful that we are following the structures of the Lord's church.
Absolutely. Because again, we all know examples. If we do our own way, do our own thing, what's going to happen? I mentioned one, and I know we have others as well. But absolutely, we have to make sure what we're doing comes from the scripture and not just from our own. We don't have a creed. We don't have anything different other than the Bible here, and that's what we have to go with. And again, when we talk about, and I'll talk just a second about even finish up about dealing with some doubts too, but yeah, go ahead. I think you had another point.
Okay, today is my dad's 86th birthday. He has a family text. Somebody said, "Happy birthday, Dad. Thank you for your love and your guidance. Brother said, yes, happy birthday. My older brother said, amen. Cheers to Papa. Leslie, happy birthday, Dad. Love you. I was taking a nap at the time. And Dad said, well, I completed an important goal. 86 years of life. I have plenty of guidance left. We love you all, meaning Mom and Dad. And Leslie said, I want guidance for many years to come. Jenny said, amen, exclamation point. Dad said, replace feather white drive belt to reduce motor slippage. Leslie said, thanks. He said, don't fret the small stuff. It's all small stuff. God helps those who help themselves. Nobody ever drowned.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to put forth effort in things, anything that it is. So is it 86 years? Yeah. And absolutely. And so we think about that. We think of the effort we do in everything else. And think of the effort you put in anything else. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our Christianity too, is it wrong to have a doubt? Is it wrong to have doubts? Because what does it cause us to do if we have doubts?
Study,
yes, we study. We'll search for it to make sure that's there. Sometimes that doubt can lead to a greater faith because then it causes us and makes us to search that faith and make sure that everything is there. Because what happens when we search the scriptures? What happens when we actually put forth the effort and do it and not listen to, as Jamie said too, someone on YouTube or TikTok or something? Obviously, don't go to those places for biblical advice especially, but probably most any other advice out there as well. It's not a lot of good advice out there. So it's going to cause us to search, to find for ourselves those things. We can't just sit here tonight and talk about our Bibles if we don't open it, we don't read it, and we don't do anything with it. Just like if we look at a video on exercise, is that going to make us stronger? Is it going to make us more fit? No, absolutely not, Dale.
Yeah, I thought about we should use the example of the Bereans there in Acts 17. They searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul was saying was the truth of it.
Right.
They want to put their finger on book, chapter, and verse. If we do that, our faith wouldn't be doubting our faith.
Right.
Prove it to me, and I'll do it.
Right.
You know, but that's too hard.
Right, and you're right. For a lot of people, a lot of things are too hard today,
yeah.
Unfortunately. You ever, not to get off track here, you ever go in a doctor's office, see the pain scale of 0 to 10, it's all smiley faces, and it goes from real smiley to kind of straight face and then really frowny. Unfortunately, in our society today, I will tell you, we have grown men that bruise their thumb and they call 911. I'm talking 20, 30-year-old men, and this is true, this is real. And that happens. And why is that? Because everyone's, I'll say it this way, is a lot of people are weak. They don't want to do things for themselves, and they believe someone else will handle it, will take care of it. We can't do that with our faith. We have to do something about it. We have to search, as the Bereans did. It even says they searched the scriptures daily to make sure these things were so. Are we doing the same thing? Are we putting forth the effort in there? And only you can answer that question for yourself. And I'm out of time for tonight, but I will pick this up again next month. Thank you.